Family Post recommends polite conversation on topics like the weather. But the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's magazine, The Lutheran Witness, is no Emily Post. Go to cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues and receive the March issue covering controversial topics like climate change, overpopulation, and the intersection of science and theology. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Judge Gorsuch has not had occasion to rule directly on a case involving Roe. However, his writings do raise questions.
For a judge who likes every outcome he reaches is probably a pretty bad judge, stretching for policy results he prefers rather than those the law compels.
William Paul Young is an extremely dangerous Bible twister who's not bringing to you what Scripture says. He's bringing to you a theology crafted in his own heart.
Northern Michiganders love issues, etc.
It was summertime in Northern Michigan.
How do we know who God really is? You go out and stand on a mountaintop and stare into the great expanse of the sky. Do you go out at night and look at the stars and peer deep into the universe? Do you go quietly into your own little prayer closet and search the depths of your inmost being? Turns out the answer is none of the above. There is only one way to know who God truly is, that God who is for you, and he is for you only in the incarnate Jesus Christ, his suffering and his death and his resurrection. A simple way of thinking about one of those hallmarks of Lutheran identity, the theology of the cross, and it's, I guess you could call it evil twin, the theology of glory. We're going to talk about both of those here in the first part of Issues, Etc. Welcome, I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest, part 10 of our series on Lutheran identity, the theology of the cross. Then Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Peter denying Jesus in Mark chapter 14. There's a big story in the Salt Lake City paper about so-called words of wisdom among Mormons. That's the dietary restrictions that Mormons have had imposed on them all the way from their prophet Joseph Smith. We're going to talk about whether or not those things can last the modern era. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry will be our guest. We'll talk men and women's sports and the conflict that sometimes comes up with reality. Rebecca Curtis will be our guest. She's written recently for Chronicles Magazine titled "The Sport You Aren't Watching." And then we're going to respond to a recent New Yorker column titled "Why It's Become So Hard to Get an Abortion." Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute will be our guest in the last half hour of the program. Feel free to join us with questions or comments over the course of the next 2 hours of Issues, Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the theology of the cross in our ongoing conversation on Lutheran identity, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back.
Thank you again. It's always good to be with you.
For Christians that do not have the biblical theology of the cross, and we'll explain what it means in a minute, what are they missing out on?
Well, they're missing the understanding of what God is and what God does. It's really what it amounts to. Because we, by nature, as Luther said, don't want to know anything about the cross. We always look to what he called a theology of glory, God and power and might and the like. This is the human tendency, for example. You see it even in Scripture. And so we don't understand really that God operates through the cross, in the hiddenness of the cross. You already see it in the Old Testament with Isaiah, for example, in the 45th chapter, in the 15th verse, he says, "You are a God who hides himself." Again, what we tend to think that we see or would like to see as God is not God as a rule. It's the theology of glory. whereas the theology of the cross is the very opposite. We also see it, for example, in Exodus, where Moses is writing about speaking to God, you shall not see my face, but you may see my back, which is another way of saying that God reveals himself in the cross, in the suffering of Christ, first of all, Christ's suffering, and then also in our suffering as Christians. If we as Christians, particularly in our free society, suffer no, let's say, ridicule for being a Christian, one might wonder how well we're doing as a Christian, because we, again, all of us want not to suffer, to be sure. We want to have a good life, a comfortable life. It's, for example, Luther said that, for example, the God that we perceive is not the God that is revealed. And that God that is revealed is Christ on the cross. There's so many aspects and dimensions of this that, you know, as you know and I know, books have been written on that very topic. I just devoted a chapter because it is such a significant part of Lutheran theology and our identity. Luther was a theological genius, if I may use this word, in putting his finger on the theology of the cross. Because most of the world, and if you go back to the pagan world before the birth of Christ and the like, all the Roman gods or the Greek gods, they all manifested the theology of glory, if you will, not of suffering that Christ did. And you see it, for example, in the life of people in the Old Testament like Joseph. We know, for example, that Joseph was sold into slavery. And then in time he rose in the Egyptian government. And then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, was thrown into prison. And then at the very end when he met his brothers, he says, "You meant evil unto me, but God meant it unto good." Guess what? Joseph understood the theology of the cross already back in the Old Testament. He didn't use the term, but he understood how God operates. You see it also in the life of Job in the Old Testament, losing all the property, possession, his family and the like. Yet he did not take the advice of his friends to condemn and curse God, because he understood the theology of the cross again. We often read the life of Joseph and the life of Job and don't really understand the theology of the cross that was there, even though they didn't use that word. And so we are missing out when we tend to see God as only a God of power and glory. And it's even a human nature. We love to sing hymns that are talk about the glory and the power of God. Crown him with many crowns. That's really not the emphasis of the theology of the cross. The theology of the cross is, for example, when we sing, "O sacred head now wounded." That's an example. Or take up your cross, when Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me." The genius of Luther again was that he found that God was in the cross, not in great aspects of life. And when we encounter, and we will, because of the sinful nature of the world we live in, and including our own sinful nature, we'll frequently endure sufferings. And then when we do, what's our response? "Why, God, did you do this to me?" Again, we're reflecting at that point the lack of understanding the theology of the cross. And we tend to think, for example, that when things really went bad, that somehow God had it in for us. No, he didn't. Luther would say, this is when he wants us to understand who he is, what he does, because we can only understand God and Christ by looking at him at the cross. And let's not forget, for example, when he was hanging on the cross. What did the mockers say? "Come down and we'll believe who you are." What did they expect? They wanted the theology of glory. At the same time, they were facing God and didn't know it. They were facing him because his power is in the cross. And that's what they're missing out on when we tend not to think of the theology of the cross. I often feel that our pastors should preach on this topic much more than they do. In fact, we sort of confine the topic almost only in theological pastoral conferences rather than in sermons, because this is where the rubber hits the road when we talk about the suffering, which is part of the cross that God permits us to endure to draw us closer to Him.
So how would you contrast this insight that Luther drew up from Scripture, and explain a little bit of the history of it, if you would, theology of the cross with the theology of glory?
Yeah, Luther introduced this in 1518 in Heidelberg, Western Germany, where he gave a disposition, and he made a number of theses, if you will, and this is where he first brought up the topic of the theology of the cross. And no one in Christian theology and history had done it. Oh, Paul obviously talks about the theology of the cross, although he doesn't use that word, but he talks about, for example, about preaching the crucifixion and so forth. I preach Christ crucified, etc., is the theology of the cross. But when Luther presented his thesis at Heidelberg, he undoubtedly, in many ways, floored people. For example, even Erasmus. If my memory doesn't fail me, he was at that particular presentation. And Luther understood it also from his own life, that suffering would be part of it. For example, when he was falsely accused of being a heretic, taken to dieted worms, condemned as a heretic, and lived in danger most of his life, actually all his life. It was never, the condemnation of his life was never ever withdrawn. So he nevertheless continued to talk about the theology of the cross because it was such a comforting thing. If you look for God, Luther would say, look to the crucified Christ. Hear him. Whereas the theology of glory, again, that's his concept. He contrasts those two. Theology of glory, theology of the cross. And you don't find this emphasis very much outside of Lutheran circles. In fact, I will argue that even we as Lutherans are frequently somewhat bashful almost, maybe that's not the right word, but we tend not to really realize the great gift that Luther gave us when he put forth those theses in Heidelberg. And as you read Luther in his various writings, it comes to the fore again and again, for example, in so many different ways. He says it is human wisdom and logic that takes offense at our suffering that God often lets us endure. And like I said a little while ago, God must be angered, or what did I do wrong that God let this happen to me? That's the theology of glory talking, not the theology of the cross. And again, it's our sinful nature that loves the theology of glory and does not like to think or imagine that God could be found and even help us remember who He is by our suffering. Our suffering is not something that happens without God's allowing it. Indeed, He does. And we often don't know how He, for example, in our suffering, begins to draw us closer to Him. And so there's all those dynamics that, for example, operate in the theology of the cross that we need to have refreshed in our minds and thinking. And again, the cross accents God's grace and mercy. And this is why I mentioned a while ago, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded is another example. Or when we have out of the Messiah and borrowed out of Scripture, comfort, comfort ye my people. That is a theology of cross message. And in fact, it is difficult to preach the gospel without really understanding the theology of the cross.
This is part 10 of our series on Lutheran Identity Today, the Theology of the Cross. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, a way to acquaint yourself or reacquaint yourself with the teachings of Lutheranism and what makes it the confession of faith that stands shoulder to shoulder with Holy Scripture and the historic church. find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. When we come back, some more detail into how the theology of the cross is a revelation of God in Christ's suffering. Stay tuned. The world may tell us that Easter is about eggs and chocolate bunnies, but we Christians know that there would be no Easter without Jesus' death and resurrection. Emmanuel Press has just released an Easter card with beautiful artwork that confesses Christ's victory over death and his redemption of mankind. You can find this card and others at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Hello. I'm Pastor Daniel Quinn, Senior Pastor of Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas, inviting you to join us for divine service on Sundays at 8:15 or 11 a.m. Living Word is located at 9500 North Panther Creek Drive in The Woodlands, a community about 30 miles north of Houston. That's Living Word Lutheran Church, where we proclaim the living word of Christ that all who hear may walk in newness of life.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's part 10 of our series on Lutheran Identity. Today, the theology of the cross. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. Dr. Schmidt, go into some more detail. You talk about those three elements of the theology of the cross, the first one being that it is how God, the true God, is revealed in Christ's state of humiliation, especially his suffering.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we find difficult to understand when we are told that that's the case. It just doesn't make human sense, so to speak. God could have redeemed us without Christ suffering on the cross. Sure, he could have. But he chose not to. And that's a mystery in itself. And again, it indicates that he values the theology of the cross. He let his son suffer, die, for your sins and my sins, the sins of the whole world, in fact. In fact, some theologians have said that the theology of the cross is one of the most difficult aspects for Christians to understand. I agree. It is not that you can't understand, but it's difficult because it's not our human nature and it's not what we expect God to be or God to do. And this is why I mentioned a little while ago, the perceived God is not the same as the revealed God. And the revealed God is in the cross. That's the emphasis and that's the importance of it. When we despise suffering, for example, we are really in pursuit, again, of the theology of glory. Those two always sort of come into play. One is opposite the other. One competes with the other, so to speak. And it seems when we talk about theology of the cross, that it contradicts human reason. And it does. It does contradict human reason in many ways. But as the good Lord said already in Isaiah, my ways are not your ways, and they're higher than your ways. And this, again, what we have to recall when we try to understand the theology of cross. Take a look, for example, at Philip in John 14, where, for example, he asked Christ to show him the Father. And then Jesus said, "You're looking at him, you dummy. Who has seen me has seen the Father." But what was the question that Philip asked? It was a theology of glory. He wanted to see God other than what he saw in Jesus Christ day by day in interacting with him. And again, he missed it. We all tend to miss it. That's what the great mystery of this theology of cross is. And also, when we begin to understand it, we understand, for example, that God is not the God of our preconceived notions or ideas or what everyone else tells us or likes to tell us what God is. The theology of the cross reveals a great divide, if I may say, relative to the perceived God and the revealed God. And I know it has been slightly different way a little earlier. And man hides his own things, Luther once said, man hides his own things in order to conceal them. God hides his own things in order to reveal them. You see, again, here we go with that contrast between the theology of glory and the theology of the cross. God reveals things that to us look hidden. Seeing Christ on the cross, his message and why he suffered and died for it was hidden to the world. Nevertheless, there it was. And there was the mystery, and there was the comfort. There is the gospel. And thus, we can only see God in Christ. That means seeing him through his suffering and on the cross. And again, this is Luther speaking.
Also, and you'd mentioned this in part before as well, that it is Jesus' suffering through which we are to understand our suffering, not kind of the other way around. Talk about that aspect.
Yes, exactly right. And this again, our human nature tends not to do, and even when we know it, we tend to depart from thinking that our suffering is really something that God permits and that where God also wants to draw us nearer. You know, if I may mention a personal experience that I had when I was 9 years old. I had a very devout grandmother, my father's mother, who was very well conversant with the small catechism and the like by memory. And I remember when my mother was seriously ill at that age, I was 9 years old, and she prayed out loud. And she said that my mother's suffering was nothing to be compared to the suffering that Christ did on the cross. And I still remember that. At that time, I really didn't understand it. In fact, I didn't understand it for years after until I began to read about the theology of the cross. That's what she was talking about. She was talking about the theology of the cross. My suffering, your suffering, or anybody else suffering as a result of some tragedy or some sickness in their life, ultimately is nothing to be compared for what Christ did, and that is also part of the theology of the cross. So when we suffer, we need to remember that Christ set an example far more than we will ever endure, but it also can serve as a motivation and a feeling of comfort that we are not rejected. In fact, when these things happen in our life, God is probably closer to us, if I may use that expression, than in many other situations in our life. He draws us to the cross. And that's why Paul also said, in the cross of Christ I glory. He wasn't just talking about the cross as a physical dimension, a physical object, but the suffering in that cross is what he was glorying in. Why was he glorying in it? Because of that suffering that he did, he obtained the forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. That's the gist and the fundamental aspect and the final product of the theology of the cross.
You also say that the third aspect of it is, and this is really very important in terms of the central theme of Lutheran theology, how the theology of the cross dethrones our good works as a means of salvation.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, I mentioned that in the book. That's quite right. That's exactly what it does. See, we, again, are workmongers, so to speak, in terms of thinking we can work out our own salvation. Oh, sure, we as Lutherans have often heard, for example, that by grace you are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast, and so on down the line. But at the same time, we tend still always to, because of our sinful nature, think that we must contribute something to our salvation. We even go to church sometimes, I think, thinking that our going to church, God will in some way reward us for it. That's not why we go to church. If we do, it's the wrong reason. And most people would probably agree with what I'm saying, but at the same time, the inclination, not spoken, is often, well, God will benefit for me. I've gone to church, and as a result of that, life will be better for me. Well, that's, again, theology of glory. It's not the theology of the cross. And so our suffering, indeed, is a manifestation of God loving us. And that, again, sounds contradictory. How could God love us if he lets us suffer? We, as human beings, try to alleviate suffering of our friend. For example, you bump yourself seriously, you break a leg or whatever, we take you to a doctor to alleviate the suffering and to overcome suffering so in time it will be healed. But that's not how God operates. When he lets suffering happen in our life, it's to draw us nearer. And it's not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us. And that's what's so hard for us to understand and remember. And therein lies the, what shall I call it, the majesty of the theology of the cross in terms of its profound meaning that it has for the Christian.
So why do affluent, fairly well-heeled Christians in the Western world, suburbanites, so to speak, who, well, for us, suffering is often very, very minor. Why do we also need the theology of the cross so desperately?
We need it too because, again, as sinful human beings, we tend to not want to hear about the theology of the cross. And to many Christians, it's a foreign expression. Oh, they know about the cross, but it's a foreign expression, for example, the theology of the cross. And Luther said, if you have no cross to bear, you're probably not a Christian. And that's a very powerful statement, because most of us don't like to bear crosses. We avoid them as much as we possibly can. And Luther also says you don't have to go out of your way to suffer and impose a cross on yourself. If you live the life of a Christian, you're going to run into the theology of the cross, or it's going to confront you in your life. And that, again, is something we don't like to hear or like to experience. But that's where the theology of the cross, what it is and where it takes us, and what I can't stop repeating, that's the core of the gospel, is the theology of the cross. And we as Christians need to remember that.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, and he's author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March. It's called Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. Dr. Schmidt, thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, thank you again for having me.
Folks, if you enjoy Issues, Etc., you also enjoy reading the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, and they have a special offer now, 6 issues for only $6.99. Find out more at cph.org/try-Lutheran-witness. That's cph.org/try-Lutheran-witness. When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. Peter denies Jesus in Mark 14. We're going to find out what's going through Peter's mind and how Jesus deals with him later. We'll answer those questions right after this.
There's a dangerous movement in evangelicalism known as the New Apostolic Reformation, and they literally claim that in the past few decades, God has restored apostles and prophets to the church.
Chris Rosebrough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In my presentation, I'll be making the case against modern-day apostles and prophets. As part of the presentation, we'll be talking about who's teaching this ecclesiology, the inherent dangers of it, but also what's at the root of it, and that is a false understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
You can meet and hear Chris Rosebrough making the case against modern-day prophets and apostles Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Emily Post recommends polite conversation on topics like the weather, but the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's magazine, The Lutheran Witness, is no Emily Post. Go to cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues and receive the March issue covering controversial topics like climate change, overpopulation, and the intersection of science and theology. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.